Molina said, not a leaf falls from the tree, but that it does so either by God's will or permission. And if he were living today, I think he would say the tiniest motion of a subatomic particle cannot occur, but without God's direct will or permission. So this is a very strong view of divine sovereignty and control. The key to understanding Molinism is Molina's doctrine of what he called middle knowledge. This is God's knowledge of everything that would happen under various circumstances. And he called it middle knowledge because it's in between, so to speak, God's natural knowledge, which is his knowledge of everything that could happen, and his free knowledge, which is his knowledge of everything that will happen.
Okay.
So in between everything that could happen and everything that will happen is everything that would happen under different circumstances. And so the doctrine of middle knowledge says that God knows what you would have freely done if you had been in the Apostle Peter's shoes.
Okay.
He knows whether you would have denied Christ three times or whether you would have been faithful or what. And so the key to Molina's doctrine of providence is that by means of his middle knowledge, God knows what free agents would freely do in any set of freedom-permitting circumstances that God might put them in. So by creating those circumstances and putting the agents in them, God then, so to speak, takes hands off and he lets the agent freely choose how he wants, but he knows how that agent would choose if in those circumstances.
How they will use their free will.
Well, more than how he will use it. Remember that? That's free knowledge. It's how he would use it.
Yes.
If he were in those circumstances. And so then by creating the circumstances and putting the agent in it, God's free knowledge falls out automatically. Then he knows how he will act.
Okay.
And so, can control human history.
Now, how does this then apply to, for instance, the issue of salvation? How does God then organize the world with this doctrine of middle knowledge in mind?
For Molina, divine election to salvation is simply that aspect of divine providence that relates to salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he would say is that the circumstances in which God puts a person include various gifts of the of divine grace, various solicitations of the Holy Spirit, and God knows how you would respond, for example, to the gospel if you were born and raised under such and such circumstances, or you were to hear the gospel preached in such and such a way. And so by putting people in various circumstances, God can elect certain persons to salvation without abridging their free will. I do think that a person in identical circumstances could choose one way or another. And I think that is biblical. You know the verse in Scripture when it says that in any situation in which we are tempted, God will provide a way of escape so that we will be able to endure it.
Mm.
Now, what that means is that in any situation in which a person succumbs to temptation and gives in, it was possible for him to take the way of escape and to endure it. So I think that teaches that in those circumstances, sin, temptation, or falling to temptation isn't inevitable, that person could have taken the way of escape. So I think that this doctrine of freedom is consistent biblically. By his middle knowledge, God knows how people would freely choose in these circumstances, and he doesn't make them choose that way, and the circumstances are not deterministic. They're freedom permitting. He just knows how they would choose. How does God know how free agents would act in any circumstances? I think it's because there are these subjunctive hypothetical propositions which are true or false.
You'll have to explain that a bit.
These are if-then statements
in
the subjunctive mood grammatically. Like, if I were rich, I would buy a Mercedes. Now, I may not be rich, and so I don't buy one. But that's a subjunctive conditional.
Okay.
And I think we use these all the time in planning. If I were to ask the boss for a raise, he'd tear my head off. If I were to pull out into traffic now, I would make it. If we were to send the army around the left flank, we would prevail. These kinds of subjunctive conditionals are inherent to rational planning and activity. And more importantly, I think, Justin, for our purposes today, the scripture is full of these kinds of subjunctive conditional statements. So anybody who believes in verbal plenary inspiration has to affirm that these are true or false. Let me just give one example. 2 Corinthians 2:8. Paul says, if the rulers of this world had understood this, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now that is a subjunctive conditional that I think as Christians we want to say is true. And if that's true, then God must know it, because God is omniscient and he knows all true propositions. God will not coerce or overpower someone in order to save them. He will respect their freedom of choice as an individual, and some persons freely choose to separate themselves from God forever, despite his will that they be saved and his every effort to save them. God has so providentially ordered the world that persons who would respond to the gospel if they heard it are born at times and places at which they do hear it, so that those who fail to hear it are only persons who wouldn't have responded to it even if they had heard it. And thus no one is lost because of historical or geographical accident. And I find that this view is very biblical, because in chapter 17 of the book of Acts, Paul says that from one man, God made every nation of men that they should inhabit the face of the whole earth. And he determined the exact times and places that they should live. He did this that men might seek after God and reach out for him and find him, because he is not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. That, to me, is consonant with a Molinist perspective. By contrast, on the Calvinist view, you have to say that God has just elected, for most of Christian history so far, people living in Western Europe or the United States, and just overlooked the rest of these folks. And so I find Molinism, again, to provide an answer to this question that is difficult for all of us as Christians. Many Calvinists that I have spoken with understand divine providence and sovereignty to mean that God causally determines everything that happens. And that's why it all unfolds the way he wants to, because he is the one who causally moves the will this way or that. And if that's the case, that means that God moves some people to sin. And that would make him the author of sin, both in the sense that the reason the person wills to sin is because God is the one who moved his will to do that. He's like the puppeteer who pulls the strings on the puppet's arms to make him do what he wants. But it would also impugn or make God the author of sin in a more profound sense, in that it would seem terribly morally wrong to do that, to move another person to sin and then to hold that person morally responsible for that. That seems to impugn the goodness of God. The church at prayer says to God, truly in this city we're gathered against thy holy servant Jesus, both Herod and Pilate and all the people, to do exactly as thy will and thy plan had foreordained. This is according to God's foreknowledge. He knew what Herod would do if king. He knew what Pilate would do if prefect in first century Palestine. He knew that the people would call for the release of Barabbas rather than Jesus. So all of this unfolds according to God's plan, according to his foreknowledge.
But they are free within that plan.
Right, right, because it's based upon how he knew they would freely act if placed in those circumstances.
Now, I suppose the question that occurs to me at that is, well, is that not just Calvinism at one remove, if you like? Because it's still,
well,
it's going to happen.
This is what open theists will say. Because it has such a strong affirmation of divine sovereignty. But I take that to be a good thing, a biblical thing. But the huge difference is, as I said before, on this view, grace isn't irresistible. The person really can do differently in those circumstances if he wants to. It's just that he can't escape God knowing
okay.
how he would freely yeah. choose. But God takes hands off and says, all right, it's up to you. So the Molinist will want to affirm that there are some worlds which are infeasible for God to actualize. And I suggest that perhaps one of these would be a world of universal salvation.
Right.
Perhaps in any world of free creatures that God might create, some would freely reject his grace and separate themselves from him forever. So that even though it's logically possible for there to be a world of universal salvation, perhaps it's infeasible
because,
for God, given these subjunctive conditionals
yes,
that we talk
because
about.
Because there may not be a world in which everyone would choose freely to be
exactly.
saved.
Exactly. He would not exercise a sort of divine coercion in order to save people, that he will respect people's wills
yeah.
and say, "You, I'm not going to make you go to heaven. If you choose to reject me, mm. and my grace and my love for you, then I will allow you to do so."